We are going to be doing a series titled Mighty Men and Women of God. Mighty Men and Women of God. All right. A few of you are like, oh boy, here we go. Some are like, hey, this could get good. And you're like, maybe it's not going to be so good. Is he going to make us work out? Well, not literally, no. But trust me, this will be good. I'm just going to begin with a scripture from 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 10. And it says, these are the chief of David's mighty men, the ones who linked arms with him as he took up his kingship, with all Israel joining in, helping him become king in just the way God had spoken regarding Israel. And the list of David's mighty men, and he begins to list them, and he starts first with Jashobeam, son of Hakomni, was chief of the 30. Single-handedly, he killed 300 men. He killed them all in one skirmish. Now, David had some men around him that were mighty, but you see, David led them, and David himself was a mighty man. David is the one who, as a young boy, destroyed a giant. The giant Goliath came out and defied the armies of God, and he went forward and destroyed. And you see, David ended up with some mighty men around him who were not afraid to move forward and to take what was necessary for the kingdom. Now, I need to make something clear as we go through these stories. Today, in the New Testament time, we don't defeat people literally, okay? There will be no sword swinging, anything like that. I got to make that clear. I did youth for many years, and I remember one time we were talking, and one of my youth put his hand up. And he was like, how come it can't be like Old Testament where we can kill people? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I've been preaching really bad. They are missing the point. So in Old Testament times, that was how it happened. In New Testament times, we are fighting a spiritual battle, not flesh and blood. That's according to Scripture. Now, I do know there's some people who are in the army, and in the army sense, they actually have to do actual fighting to protect our country and to keep us safe. So I get that. But for what we're talking about here, we're going to be talking a little more spiritual, and the physical battles are not going to be against people. They're not going to be to destroy people, but they're going to be to build people. Those battles are going to be to do good, to change lives. And I found something out. To do that, it takes mighty men and women of God. And church, when you look at Scripture and you look at people who do great exploits for God, you will find out that they have something in common. There's something about them that is different than people who do nothing. You see, mighty men and women of God, first things first, know where they belong. This is going to be key, and I'll show you why. You see, these mighty men that David had joined him and wanted to be with him. And you see, they joined him when he was actually fleeing from King Saul. David had to run for his life, and he ended up hiding in a cave, in an area where he felt he could be safe. And this is what it says in Scripture in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to Abdullam's fortress. When David's siblings and all his extended family learned of this, they went to join him there. Everyone who was in trouble, in debt, or in desperate circumstances gathered around David. And he became their leader. Approximately 400 men joined him. Now here's what you need to know. All 400 of those men who joined him were making a life and death decision to be with David. Because David was on the king's bad list, and the king wanted him dead, which meant he wanted everybody dead with him. And they decided, we're leaving where we're at, we're going with him. I don't care if it means we will die. I don't care if it means they'll steal our lands and our homes. We know where we belong. That's the first thing I want you to understand. These mighty men also did not begin as mighty men, but it was always in them. You see, when God chooses people, he doesn't look at the outward, he looks at the heart. And he looks in and he says, there's one. I choose them. I choose him. I choose her. And we won't be leaving the women out tonight. But our initial verses are about soldiers, and in those days, women weren't in the army. But we will have women involved tonight in this message because there are mighty men and women of God. You see, you might look at someone and say, there is no hope for that person. Oh, I don't think that person will accomplish anything. And God says, really? That's what you think? I see their heart. And I know where they need to be to become mighty. You see, the men that came to David, it said some of them were just discontented with life. Some were in debt. They were running from their debts. They were running from their problems. Some of them were a mess, but they ran the right direction. They ran to David, who was a leader, a man after God's own heart. Now today I want you to run after Jesus, not me. But God has asked me to lead here, and I believe that he's already put mighty men and women of God in this church, and he's bringing more. And I want to encourage you right now, I'm going to say this, church, today. You are going to see men and women come in this church that you're going to be going, no, not them. No, not them. And God says, you don't know what I know. That person you see in trouble is because they have a fighting spirit, but they don't know what to fight for. Do you hear me? That person who won't quit, and they just won't give up, and you're thinking they need to change, they don't know what they should not quit for yet. They don't know how to not give up for the right thing. And God says, I see their heart. I want that one. I want that one. And I want that one. So get ready, church. I'm going to tell you now. You will see men and women come in here that you thought, no, God can't use them. And God says, watch me. Watch me! Because he's looking at the heart. Woo! Now don't get me wrong. There's going to be some coming in, and there's some of you already here. I can look around and I see it. I see soldiers in the faith. And yet, you haven't yet risen up to the challenge. You haven't yet been given a challenge, but you're here. And God says, get ready, because I'm going to use you. Let me ask the question, who wants to do something mighty for God? Nobody's like, can I just do something little and, you know, useless? Of course not. Well, I've got good news. He wouldn't be asking me to preach this if he didn't have some mighty things to do. And they're happening already, and it is amazing. And sometimes the worst of the worst are the exact ones he's looking for. Oh, you say, why? Why would he do that? Scripture tells us clear. God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. He chooses things that are nothing to confound those that think they are. Woo! And who gets the glory? He does. He does. So tonight, if you came and you felt a little bit nothing, or you know somebody who feels like they're beyond, they're hopeless, they have no hope, you invite them to church. I tell you, God is about to do some amazing things. And he wants to do it through you and I. You see, they made a decision. Whatever comes, this is where I belong with you, David. I wonder what David was thinking when they all came. He was like, well, yes, I don't have anybody else, and I'm going to be killed. I'll take them. You know, his family joined him. You know why his family joined him? They didn't have a choice. It was join him or die. When a king decides he's coming after you, he also comes after your family. You know, when the enemy that we now fight, it's a spiritual enemy, the devil himself, if he's coming after you, he's also coming after your family. So can I suggest to you, if you're in a case where there's some spiritual battles going on, don't you dare make yourself secluded and alone. You get with the army, with the family. Like, oh yeah, but some of those people in my church, I don't like them. So? Some of those people you don't like know how to pray. Oh yeah, but a few years ago, did you know that person? I better not go anywhere there. You know what they did? Oh, a few years ago. My Bible says we're supposed to forgive daily, and you're holding something from a few years ago? Woo! Let it go. No, he won't say this. Give it to him. Give it to him. We need one another. And there's some mighty men and women of God that are already in this church. And you need them, and maybe you're one of them, and you just don't know it yet. Amen. Okay? But God does. He's looked at your heart. All right, let's keep moving. We got to get the women involved here a little bit, because women also know where they belong, mighty women of God. They know where they belong. They know the call and purpose that God has on them. And in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, we read some scripture that shows a woman who knew where she was meant to be. So Ruth was married to Naomi's son, and the son died. There was another daughter-in-law who was also married to another one of Naomi's sons, and he died as well. Also, Naomi's husband died. And Naomi, you know, after weeping and mourning, says, well, I'm going back to my home country. We'll see you later. And Ruth said, no, you won't see me later. I'm coming with you. And she said, no, go back. I have nothing for you. Nothing. And Ruth said, don't ask me to leave or turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Wow. I found something out. Mighty men and women of God know where they belong. They know where God has placed them, and they are strong. Because I've seen something. People who don't know where they belong, they accomplish nothing because they bounce here and there and everywhere. And am I going to get into church? Yes, I am. Oh, don't go there. I will go there, but in a little bit. When you know where you belong, you will become mighty. Did you know that you can transplant a plant into a bigger pot and it will grow? But do you know if you transplant it every other day, it will die? Are you planted? Do you know where God has planted you so that you can grow? Yes, I'm alluding to church here right now. But there's more than just church. You know, if you bounce from community to community, if the grass always looks greener somewhere else, you will never accomplish something mighty. The only time you should be moving, going elsewhere is if God is leading you for a purpose. But just going wherever because it looks greener? Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about the grass being greener. First of all, if your neighbor's grass looks greener, if you go walk over and look in the middle of his lawn, he has brown spots just like yours. But from a distance, when the sun's shining off, it looks way better. Okay. But there's a second thing. Maybe his grass is actually way greener. You know what you do about that? No, you look after your own lawn. You water your lawn. You fertilize your lawn. You get rid of the weeds. You get rid of the pests. You put some work into it, and what do you know? The grass is greener right where you're at. So quit running to look for greener grass. People who know where they belong become mighty. Ruth knew where she belonged. And she went with Naomi, who had nothing to give her. And if you know the story or the end of Ruth's story, she became mightily blessed, married a wealthy man, ended up in the genealogy of Jesus himself because she knew where she belonged. And it didn't matter what the grass looked like. Come on, going with a widow who has no hope, that ain't green grass. But she turned it into green grass. She turned it into green grass with hard work and commitment. That's a mighty woman of God right there. Did you know when she went with Naomi, she became a beggar? She was a beggar. She had to go to the edge of the fields of other people and beg. Pick up the leftovers. Because the leftovers were left for the poor and the beggars. That doesn't look like green grass, does it? She knew where she belonged. And she went to the field, and she went to the right field. Where a man named Boaz was in charge of the field, and he saw her work ethic. He saw how hard she worked at getting this, and he knew she's doing this for that widow lady who happened to be related. And he gave her favor, and it turned from there to ending up being a marriage and really green grass. But what if she didn't know where she belonged? You know what Boaz told her when she was in the field? Don't go to any other fields. Work here in this field. You'll be protected. She knew she belonged with Naomi. Now she knew what field she belonged in. Ooh, there's some preaching happening right now. Oh, she worked all day in the hot sun for a little bit of barley. I don't know what you're going through, but I hope you know where you belong. And I hope you are not willing to quit. Because God has something great if you will stay planted. God has something great if you will know where you belong and be there. Now let me say it clear in case it didn't come out clear enough. Mighty men and women of God today commit fully to one local church. Was that clear enough for everybody? Okay, good. Oh, but I like going to all of them. You know, that way when the pastor tries to correct me, I can just switch to another one for 2 months. Well, when they have the better food over here, I can go over there. Oh, when they're doing the fun stuff, I'm going to go. Really? You know what? Do you want to grow? Do you want to do something mighty? I've been in ministry since I was a teenager. We did gospel music back then and continued in ministry. I have seen something, and I can tell you it is not a lie. People who don't stay planted, don't know where they belong, never accomplish something mighty. Never! You want to accomplish something mighty, know where you belong, and then you press in. So this is going to get good. Some are like, oh. You know, I'm looking around. I see you tonight. You guys know where you belong. Like, but what about if the pastor does something I don't like or says something I don't like? Oh, yeah, bounce around if you want and never accomplish something mighty. Or grow. Learn. Know where you belong. You see, don't be divided about where God wants you to learn, to grow, to give, to be accountable, and to become a mighty warrior. Straddling the fence is a bad idea. Well, I don't know where, so I think I'll go here and I'll go here. I don't know, maybe I'll be here and I'll go here. It's called straddling the fence. It's a bad idea. I grew up on a farm. I know it's a bad idea. We had fences on the farm and they had boards on the fences. And we had this one fence and it had like 3 boards. And you know, as kids, you're like, I think I can balance on that. But the top was a little scary, so I had this great idea. I would walk on the second board. You put your feet like this, and there's another board there, and you could, I'm walking on the fence. I don't know if I can give you all the details of what happened next. It's a bad idea. It's like slip, swoop, thud, help. Bad idea. They call it that for a reason. When you can't make up your mind, you're straddling the fence. At some point, if you don't make up your mind, you will get hurt. That's where the saying came from. You will get hurt. Sometimes people think straddling the fence is because I want the best of both. It's going to be better for me. Stop before you get hurt. Know where you belong. All right, that's enough of that one. Because we're just going over it. We're going to go deeper the next few weeks on all these points, but right now we're just going to hit them quickly. The second point, The second thing that I've seen about mighty women and women of God, they are team players. You look at David's mighty men and you will see this. And you look at it today and you will see this. People who do mighty things are team players. Let me give you a scripture from David's mighty men. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 12. Next in rank among the three was Eliezer, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah. He was with David when the Philistines gathered to battle at Pasdamin and attacked the Israelites in a field full of barley. The Israelite army fled, but Eliezer and David held their ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord saved them by giving them a great victory. Mighty men and women of God are team players. They are not selfish. They are not only about themselves. Amen. Selfish people do not accomplish mighty things. You need to know this. You can read through scripture. Selfish people that only think of themselves do not accomplish mighty things. People who are willing to be part of a team do. And we're going to get more to that. Esther 4 and verse 16, because I'm going to get the women in here who are team players. You see, an evil plan had been plotted and all of the Jews were about to be killed. Mordecai comes to Esther and says, you need to go talk to the king. At first she's like, I don't know, that could be scary. If he doesn't hold out his scepter, I'm a dead person. And Mordecai says, he brought you there for just this time. And so Esther, who is a team player, says this, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa. We're in Esther 4:16. And fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. What is she saying? I'm willing to do this for my team, even if I die. And I will take one for the team. Wow, that's a team player. She was sitting pretty, the queen of the king. She'd be like, yeah, forget it. I'll just never tell him I'm a Jew. She's a team player. You want to do mighty things for God? I found out mighty men and women of God are team players. They are not selfish. They are not proud. And you can trust them. If they said they'll do it, they'll do it. You probably know some mighty men and women in your life who have said something and they stick to it. Proverbs 25:19 has an interesting little verse. It says, putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking on a lame foot. You're trying to step forward and you think you can trust the foot and it didn't work. You're like, oh, everything's fine. I need to eat or I'm going to die. Ouch. It's a picture that you and I can understand. Mighty men and women of God are reliable. They don't tell you one thing and do another. We got some mighty men and women of God here. We really do. Okay, here's another point. Now we're going to go deeper later. Mighty men and women of God honor their godly leaders. Okay, now you're like, well, yeah, you're going to preach this. Well, I have to. It's in the Bible. I have leaders above me as well. And I am under leaders, and I've been under many different leaders. So just so you know, I'm not the top leader. God is the top leader. And there are other leaders in our organization as well. I have elders, I have board members. So just so you know, this is not about me. This is about mighty men and women of God. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 17. David remarked longingly to his men, oh, how I would love some of the good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. So the three, his mightiest three, broke through the Philistine lines, drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and brought it back to David. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. God forbid that I should drink this, he exclaimed. This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me. So David did not drink it. These are examples of the exploits of the three. What happened here? There was a battle going on. They just had some old water in containers. And David says something just because he's feeling it. Oh, that water down there would be good. He wasn't telling them they should go get it. But those mighty threes, we care about our leader. Do you think he really meant that, or does he think he wants water? I don't know, but let's go get it. Like, what? Are you serious? And they risked their lives. Some pretty tough guys break through an army, and then one of them has to come back holding water and protect the water all the way. That's called honoring their leader. Was David perfect? No, he wasn't. We all would find that out. Mighty men and women of God know how to honor leaders. I've also found something out. You will not accomplish something mighty if you spend your time tearing down leaders. Well, what? You know, I heard something and I found out something. If you want to look and find and hear stuff, there's no perfect leaders. I'll be the first to say that. But if you spend your time tearing down leaders, you will not do something mighty yourself. You won't. Because that's not how it works. God has something mighty for you, but he will get you there if you're able and willing to be under a leader and learn and grow. You want to know why that is? Because for you to do something mighty, you will need other people around you. For you to accomplish great things, you will need other people willing to be with you. Ask anybody who has started a business. For that business to grow and do unbelievable things, you will need other people. If you've been unable to be under leaders, why will anybody ever be under you? You will have a one-man business for the rest of your life if you don't figure out how to be under a leader yourself. Oh, you're like, Pastor, how do you know this stuff? I've been there. I have done it wrong. I have run down leaders. In the seasons in my life where I ran down leaders, I accomplished nothing. Guaranteed, I accomplished nothing. In those seasons, nothing. Nothing in my ministry worked, nothing. So I'm telling you because I know. The times in my life when the greatest things have happened because I was able to work with others and be under somebody. So church, if you want to do something mighty, you're going to need to be able to honor leaders. Hebrews 13, 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit for you. You know, I've found over the years that some people just tolerate leaders or they don't like any leader at all. Unfortunately, if that's your mindset, you will never reach God's potential for your life. Not until you're able to humble yourself, and then you will grow. Why does God say, humble yourself and then he'll lift you up? 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. This was the prophet Samuel talking to Saul because Saul didn't listen to the command of the Lord that was spoken through the prophet Samuel, somebody who was over him spiritually. See, Samuel was over King Saul spiritually, but King Saul had a little bit of an issue with spiritual authority. He felt he knew better. Nobody ever does that nowadays. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. You see, pride keeps people from honoring and submitting to godly leadership. And pride often leads to rebellion where I just don't care what, I'm going to do my own thing. You see, because of pride, people believe they already know more than any leader. And if they were the leader, they would do it much better. If you already know more than any leader, you're walking in pride. None of us knows more than every leader. We can learn from anybody. Especially from leaders that God has put there. If you spend a lot of your time thinking you know more than all the leaders around you, you have a pride issue. I'm just going to say it right there, straight out. You're like, well, I would be under leaders, but they're all so terrible. You have a pride issue. If you can't find a leader to be under, you've got a pride issue. Don't worry, though. There's a way to deal with it. There's a good way to deal with it, and there's a way that it gets dealt with. The good way to deal with it is humble yourself under God's hand, and he'll lift you up. The not so good way is just let it keep going until Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before disaster and arrogance before a fall. You can't do something mighty if you're in pride and you don't honor leaders, and it will actually lead to a fall if you don't humble yourself. I got a story here. It's actually another fence story, but it's a better one. It is a better one. You see, I grew up on a farm, and on our farm, we actually raised elk and deer and moose and some cows and some regular stuff. But we had elk on the farm, and every year we would have to bring the elk into a corral, and we would have Fish and Wildlife, they were called back then, would come, and they would help, and you'd have to give them their proper needles, make sure they had their proper ear tags. They didn't want to risk any domestic elk getting out where the wild elk. And so we would do that, and we had 12-foot high corrals. So the outside fence that we had was 8 feet high, because elk and deer can really jump, especially when they're scared. Any hunters ever seen them jump really high? But we would work them in these big corrals. And the corral is bigger here, and then it comes down, and it gets smaller, and eventually you get them in a chute. And in the chute, you squeeze the chute and give them the needles, the ear tags, all the stuff they need. Well, at the one spot, there's a gate that just comes across about this wide, like that. We'll say from this pulpit to this guitar. And the gate would shut, and I was working the one spot there. My brother was here working a spot. There's a couple of people here. And then the Fish and Wildlife people are over here giving the needles and stuff. Well, it would take most of the day. And during that morning, I'm going to say I was a little bit grouchy, but I was also a little bit proud. And I was pretty sure I was the elk handler of the century. I knew about elk handling, I tell you. I was a teenager, but I knew everything there was to know about elk handling. And I was up there on the top of that fence, and I was like, what did you do that for? Like, how come you didn't close the gate in time? You know, what's this? How come that? Hurry up, jump over there. Ah, why are you guys going so slow? I know you just can't believe that, can you? But anyways, I was. And I don't know how long it went on for. And I'm a little slow sometimes to catch what's going on, but a lot of people were getting bugged by this teenager's mouth. I was mouthy. I know you can't believe that either. Oh, yes, you can. That's why God uses me as a preacher now. I told him one time, you can have my mouth, God. So I was being mouthy, no doubt about it. And, you know, nobody's really answering me, but I'm just being like, I think I'm the boss here. And while I was doing that, I was up there on the top, and I went to push this gate. And I was really agile. We used to, the 8-foot fence, we used to be able to jump it with one step. 12-foot fence, you know, two steps around the top. We jump from fence to fence. But anyhow, this one time, after I'm doing this nonstop, I pushed the gate, and I kind of leaned forward. I went to reach the gate. I missed the gate. I'm like, well, I'll just jump to the fence on the other side. Some of my pants caught. And I'm like, oh, I can still reach it. So I went like this, and all that reached was my fingertips, which put my hands like this. And I fell head first, my face and my chest to the bottom of the corral. And you see, only farmers know what's at the bottom of a corral. The animals have worked it with their feet, and it is like a sewer. So I went head first, face first, chest first, and I saw stars, and I kind of knocked the wind out of myself. And I'm getting up, and I'm trying to wipe all this stuff off because I can't breathe. It was bad. And what was worse, when I looked up, my brother was there, and he said, are you okay? But he was trying with all his might not to laugh. And the Fish and Wildlife people over there were laughing. And everybody else was trying, who knew me, was trying not to. And I remember, we knew scripture, we grew up with the Bible. I remember this verse coming to me. And I will never forget, pride goes before a fall. You know, I was the quietest elk handler after that for the rest of the day. I did not say a word to anybody about how to do it. I was humbled. I want to give you this because we can humble ourselves. I could have chose to shut up earlier, or we can be humbled. And if we take leadership that's not ours, like I was as a teenager, I wasn't the boss of the crowd. We end up in situations like that. I hope you never have to do that, by the way. That was disgusting. Okay. Mighty men and women of God passionately serve the Lord. They serve him with everything they have. I'm going to go back to David's mighty men. David and his mighty men are in the bush, if you will. They're hiding out. But while they hide out, they look after the flocks of people around them. And one of the flocks that they've been looking after is Nabal's. He's quite wealthy, has a lot of sheep. They protect him. They'd never touch his flock, but they look after it. And so David asks Nabal one day, hey, we've been out here for a long time protecting, wondering if you'd be willing to give us, you know, some food. And Nabal looks at them and is like, I don't give you nothing. You're no good for nothing. He had some issues. And David went back to his men. He said, we've done all this for nothing. The guy's going to give us nothing. I guess if that's what he wants, put your swords on, boys. We're going to destroy him, and we're going to have all the sheep we want. It's a bad attitude, but that's what he was thinking. However, there was a lady. Her name was Abigail, and she was a mighty woman of God. Why do I say that? Because she was not someone who sat back and watched evil happen. She was not someone willing to just do nothing when something needed to be done. One of the servants came and told her, because she wasn't there when this happened. The servant came and told her and said, this is what your husband did. I don't know if he realizes, but we're all going to be dead pretty soon because of what he just did. And she said, no, we're not. You guys get together, go get a whole bunch of food, raisins and barley, and let's dress some animals. You get them on the donkeys and you head over to his camp. She said, I'm on my way right behind you. And she came to his camp, and she bowed to the ground and spoke to David in 1 Samuel 25:27. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. Did you know that mighty men and women of God will ask forgiveness for something they didn't do? The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you were chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. The lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. That's a mighty woman of God. Did you know that her attitude and her mightiness to take action saved an entire family? Servants, David said, because of what you did, you know what? They're saved. But I'm talking about they serve God passionately. Did you hear what she told him? This was a woman who obviously prayed and knew the will and purpose of God. She told him prophetically, you will be the next king. You have a dynasty coming. And when it happens, remember me. Do I have some mighty women and men of God in this place who are not afraid to speak his word? Mighty men and women of God serve God passionately and they do not quit. They serve him fully. They serve him by repenting of sin, not living in it. And I'm just going to give you the verses. They're not even going to put them on the screen. Matthew 24:11, if those are taking notes, and Luke 15:17. And I'm going to read this one as my last verse, Luke 15:17, and then we're closing. It says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. See, the prodigal son had left. He'd taken his inheritance and he'd went and lived in sin. But his story didn't change until he repented of his sin and came home. You see, mighty men and women of God don't live in sin. They turn from it. Because living in it will keep you from ever accomplishing something mighty. It will be the thing that the devil can always grab a hold of to pull you down. The moment you're about to do something great, he will, thank you, I have that. Turning from it and turning to Jesus is where all things begin. Amen. You want to do mighty things in the Spirit? You want to do great things for him? It begins with repenting and accepting him as your Savior. So let me ask you, have you decided you want to passionately follow Jesus? Guess what? We're going to take a moment right now today. You see, because committing to follow him is simple. In Romans 10 and 9, it says, if you believe in your heart that he died for you, then you confess it with your mouth and you'll be saved. So we make time here in our service to pray a prayer that just allows us to use words so that we know we're saved. So we're going to do that as a group right now for that one or two that maybe have never done this. So repeat this prayer after me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I turn from it and I choose to passionately follow you. Amen. Give God praise today for that.